Now, the greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill.
The crowd is wild. Oh, we got the crowd back. Hell of COVID.
That's right.
Oh, man. Live studio audience loving us. Welcome to the Greatest Story Never Told podcast, episode number 61.
800 people packed in here, and we only have space for 150. Whoa. We don't care.
Whoa. It's a new year. It's
if
a new
you cough, you get shot.
That's right. Welcome to the Greatest Story Never Told podcast. We do have another unofficial sponsor here. This is very nice.
We aren't kidding.
It is, guys, my name is Stitch G. Stitch G.
Sorry, man. I'm just cleaning house. You keep going.
And I'd like to be an unofficial sponsor of your Greatest Story Never Told podcast. As you can see, I donated $100. Hopefully, all the people donating help those who need it. I just finished listening to the entire podcast in 2 days.
Wait,
60 podcasts in 2 days. I'm a long-haul truck driver. Recently realized what I was missing during my drive time. Got burnt out on my books and music and realized the radio.com app was missing. So I rediscovered the app and the podcast. I was dying listening to those stories. But I have to say, Thrill's Childhood would definitely be something worthy of being some show on Netflix. Or
no. No. Absolutely.
Love you guys. Y'all always bring a laugh and good story. Keep on rocking, doing what you do. That from Stitch G, who donated $100 to the Fisher
House. Thank you, Stitch.
Yeah, you can do the same. If you just make a local donation to the three Fisher Houses in the area, we'll make you the unofficial sponsor of the podcast.
So. Would you want them, say Netflix approached you and said, hey, we want to do a show, you know, loosely based on your childhood. But right. We're going to, because like The Rock has a show out now, something like Young Rock, Little Rock, whatever the hell it's called. You know, it's, I'm sure there's some fiction added in, but essentially based on real experiences. And my thought would be, no, absolutely not, man.
Yeah.
Because there's even stories we can't tell here. I mean, seriously, we powwow and go, hey, man, this would be a great story to tell. Then we're like, you know what? The timeline, the circumstances, and the crimes involved, let's not do that.
But what would be the title of your Netflix show? The Netflix show based on your life throughout your entire childhood, like day one to day now, what would they title that Netflix
Jesus.
Show?
From day one to day now?
That's right. You know what? This is going to sum up everything that's gone on through your life, all
you
the
know
big
what?
Events.
Honestly, at the point I'm at in my life now, it would just be called, Can You Believe It?
Nice.
Right? I mean, just, can you believe it? Because there are days where I definitely think, I cannot believe that our show is successful, not because I dislike our show, but because I'm involved. I cannot believe I am a parent. You know, with kids that actually live in my home and recognize that I'm their father. I mean, it takes you back a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I can't believe how many things I not quite lied to my kids about, but how big of a hypocrite you become. For example, hey, you have to get your homework done. I know you don't feel like doing your homework. Typical parent stuff. The truth of me is I never did homework. And I refused to do it because, again, my working mantra was, if you're not paying me, I don't take it home. Mm-hmm. If you can't tell me in class, I'm not taking it home. And that was my stance. It still is my stance. But now that I have kids, and it's like, hey, this is your responsibility, man.
Yeah,
you need to do your homework.
I can't believe how many things I forget. That's what really just takes me back a little bit as far as my memory in general. Something will stir my memory, and I'll go, oh, yeah, I remember that now.
Sure.
But I would never remember it on a cold call, just in my brain in general. And the more I just read certain articles or whatever, I realize some of the interviews that we've done that I just completely forgot.
Completely forget these things.
So in other words, the other day I'm on BroBible.com, which is a great website, and they're talking about, you've heard of the beer mile. Beer mile is you run once around the track, you chug a beer.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you start with a beer that you chug, right? Then you run another lap, four laps around the track's a mile. So every time you come around, you drink a beer. Well, I'm looking at this article on these guys who did the Big Mac mile. And what a terrible idea it was. So they start by eating a Big Mac.
All right.
Then they run around once, and they eat another Big Mac. Then they run around again. They eat four Big Macs in the course of 1 mile. It's called the Big Mac Mile. And they're saying, and these are professional runners, how just much this sucks. And I'm reading the article, and the guy's name is Nick Simmons, who's doing this.
Okay.
And I realize that Nick Simmons came on our show. He's an Olympic runner. He had run gum.
He was on our show?
Yes. Now, see, I'm not the only one that forgets everything. So this guy was on our show. Remember, he had the run gum and everything else.
I kind of remember run gum.
Very cool dude. But he was the guy doing this. And I thought to myself, that's right. That guy was on our show, came in studio, was an Olympian, was doing some stuff here in Seattle. And I was like, oh, God, I completely forgot, right? So we have a bunch of those.
Yes.
Over the years that we have forgotten about. And today we're going to feature one of those long-lost interviews from way back in the day. Now, this goes back to our days on Out to Lunch in Baltimore, and we had a comedian in studio named Yakov Smirnoff.
And depending on your age, maybe you've heard, like Mike said, man, I know the name, but right, you can't place the face. You're young enough that this guy wouldn't matter, but he was huge in the States. Basically, he defected from Russia, right? So during, like, the 80s, that was always a big deal. That's, you know, America got to flip its bird to the Soviet sure. Union, as it was then.
Right.
And he became a comedian, and that's what he was specifically known for, the fact that he was a Russian dude that defected and was pretty fun.
Yeah, and he did. He came to the United States in 1977, could not speak a word of English, learned English from watching television, mm-hmm. as a lot of people do. He actually is Jewish and grew up in Odessa, Ukraine, which is where my wife's family is from.
Okay.
So, believe it or not, he kind of bought a theater in Branson, Missouri. And Branson, Missouri is kind of like a mini tourism town for people who come on buses, a lot like Nashville.
It's like an old person Vegas, though.
Right.
Right? There's a few casinos, and comedians like him will perform, but because of this theater he bought there and the fact that older folks love them some Yakov Smirnoff, like, this town is kind of blown up, man.
Right, and he had a streak there until the fall of Russia and communism there. So up until that time, he was very popular, and he kind of broke into the lexicon of Americans with the movie Moscow on the Hudson, which starred the late Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm. And so, Ted's favorite, Rosie Perez.
Yes, exactly. So he was kind of, okay, I don't know if you remember any of these movies, but he was in Buckaroo Banzai.
I remember the movie. I remember the name.
Anyway. He was in Brewster's Millions.
Okay.
He was in the Money Pit. He was featured many times on the sitcom Night Court. Johnny Carson used to have him on constantly
mm-hmm.
on The Tonight Show. So this guy was, you know, he had done some things. But he was in town, and I guess he was doing stand-up. I don't remember why the hell we're talking to him.
I don't know.
But either way, we're going to go back in time here, and we have not heard this. Keep in mind.
We have no idea where this goes.
We sound younger because we are. We're probably a little more edgy because we were. But let's go back in time and listen to a little of our time with the one and only Yakov Smirnoff.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Oh, behave.
Now more of the best about to lunch.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Now more of the best about to lunch at FM Talk. Live 105.7.
God, we sound so edgy.
Now in the studio, very happy to have ladies and gentlemen, comedian extraordinaire Yakov Smirnoff. Thank you for joining us.
Man, sounds like a little kid. Hello.
What is this we're listening to here?
Some Russian music. Trying to make him feel at home.
Thank you. Snow is enough. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I think things have changed since you were last there. Obviously, so. this is not what you grew up to, I'm assuming.
It's an Americanized version.
It is a Russian pop song.
Okay.
That was our producer in the background.
Right now. The only Russian band I know is Tattoo.
Yeah.
Is this them?
No.
Oh, they're not together anymore, nor are they lesbians. Who knew?
Wow.
Jesus. And he admitted it, man. And you know what? That was a real shame. Because I got a thing for Russian lesbians. Don't ask me the connection.
I got it.
It's just there, man.
Yakov's
there.
Yakov in town, one night only. Saturday, February the 14th, Morris A. Mechanic Theater. Tickets on sale through Ticketmaster, 410-481 seat, and Ticketmaster.
That theater's since been torn down. It's not there anymore.
We sound young and energized, don't we? There's so much energy.
Like kids, man.
I know. Okay.
Is this the one man traveling show? Are you out there all by yourself?
It's me. It's just me, and it's a one man show based on my life story. I auditioned and I got the part. So
of your own life
nobody
story.
Nobody else showed up.
Wow. Right? So it's not much of a stretch for you then, compared to some of your other roles.
No, but it was a production. It's a play that was on Broadway. Originally, it was 6-week limited engagement, but then New York Times raved and gave it a great review, so it was extended another 6 weeks, so now I'm touring it around the country.
Have you gone back to the old Soviet Republic?
I've gone back several times, but last time I was there was last April, and the changes are hard to imagine. You know, for me growing up, I never thought that would change, but now it had, and my kids, because they are growing up with me telling them all of the stories, you know, how we stand in line for food, you know, and living in a communal apartment with 9 families sharing one apartment, my parents and I. shared the bedroom till I was 26 years old. This is not, I'm not making this stuff up.
I'm really
sorry
about
that. And I'm
telling
my kids, I know. And there, and when my parents wanted to be intimate, they would send me to look out the window. And then my dad would say, so what do you see in the window? I said, our neighbors being intimate. And he said, how can you tell? I said, because their son is looking at me. So my kids grow up with listening to all these stories, and we get to Moscow, and we're staying in a nice Marriott hotel, and there's no food shortage. It looks totally normal, and my kids are looking at me going, you're making this stuff up. There is no way. So, but then little by little, they go, oh, no, maybe you're right, because the toilet paper, there's no two-ply, so they want to come home. This is it.
Cottonelle in Russia right now.
No.
You, 1977.
Yes.
You came to the United States.
Just in time for Saturday Night Fever, man. Now that is timing.
You hit the
perfect.
You hit the
disco
perfect.
Craze.
Now, were you besides a submarine captain? Were you the first Russian defector? I guess from the entertainment standpoint. In other words, when you go home, I would have to think that you are just, you know, I mean, known everywhere you go.
I don't think so. No, because in those days when you left, it was like you're a traitor. You don't. They did not give you any publicity. There, you were out, and I was okay to be out because you know I with that upbringing and all of that. I was a comedian in Russia, successful comparatively. I was working on the cruise ships there on the Black Sea on the Love Barge. I called them
the Love Barge.
So that's right.
Were you hooking up on the Love Barge?
I was hoping, but the American women were there, and I liked them right away. And so that I had an idea going, well, maybe I should go to America.
So wait, the women, American women, essentially, are what drove you to want to leave the country? Come on, be honest, man. You know, listen, we got no beef with that.
Okay.
I understand.
Okay. But because did you see Russian women those days?
Back in those days, we pictured, honest, put it this way, like during the Cold War when I was a kid.
Yeah.
If you're watching like a TV show and they talk about Russian women, basically they hired a man and stuffed the bra. Okay, so our impression of Russian women were that they were the ugliest things under. Nowadays, you talk about Russian women. Right. Now all of a sudden, gorgeous. They're like the hottest chicks in the world.
They are.
But you see, you saw the big, burly, hairy women.
The women with penises, we called them. Yes.
Well, but the beautiful women were always there. They were just standing behind those big and burly women. That's why you couldn't see them. But I think the lifestyle changed tremendously, and I think that's affected. The women are beautiful. They just were with all the food, bad food and shortages and hard work. That's how they turn out. So,
and now, I guess, from the most part, the people who are, the Russians who are being smuggled into this country, I guess, are but done so mostly underground by that organization, the NHL. Which is code secret, you know. So I guess a lot of your hockey friends are coming to your show, in other words. Which brings up this interesting question.
Yes.
Now, if your family was still in Russia, would they do that Russian mob thing to you where they shake you down and say you're going to kill your family if you don't pay up in a hurry?
It's a possibility. I didn't check. Yeah, and I did not want to call anybody and say, would you do that to my family?
Please. But that's a seriously huge problem for a lot of people who are here from Russia as far as what's going on back home, especially if you're making money.
Right. You know. That's the only people they're interested in. But I did not sense that. When I went back, there was people asking me, you know, were you in danger at all? I didn't sense that. But obviously, it is a problem, and it's been brought up. The Russian mafia is pretty brutal. They'll kill you. They'll make you stand in line before that, but they'll kill you. I mean, so that's out there. I just didn't feel that. I felt... when I came here, my parents came with me. We had a good travel agent, so we were lucky.
We didn't
speak English, didn't know anybody here.
Sounds lucky.
Well, lucky in terms of lucky how America embraced us, but it was hard work. I mean, watching TV to learn. I watched TV like 24/7 to watch to learn the language. Then I realized it was a Spanish station. But
Telemundo.
Sorry,
amigos.
I was a little slow.
There you go.
You hit the punch before I thought you were getting there. Too quick for me.
No, it's all right. I'll point it out to you if you want to use those things.
Although I would say this: if anyone else are coming to America now, I would probably recommend that they learn how to speak in America by watching Telemundo.
Yeah, what kind of shows did you watch, honestly? I mean, what
Russia or here?
No, here. What did you watch?
Well, at first was like cartoons, just to kind of understand basic English, or Sesame Street was a big thing for me. But then it upset me because the Big Bird spoke better than I did. And so I'm thinking, I'll never make it in show business. But then I saw Sylvester Stallone movies.
All right. Hey, now.
I made it. And Arnold, too. Yeah.
But now, you are right now, I know you've written some books before. And you're working on a book right now. But the preliminary review of your book, and I'm just here to help. The preliminary review is that it is borscht for the soul. As a friend, I want to let you know, those of us here in the States, that ain't good. That's a turnoff. That's like saying it's the fried liver.
How about chitlins? How about Smirnoff for the soul? Would that be better?
I guarantee.
Write it down.
Fly off the shelf. Borscht. Why borscht, man?
Well, borscht, it's a famous Russian dish.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
No, you say it doesn't grab
borscht
you.
Borscht for the soul.
Yeah, it doesn't grab you.
That's a book I would never buy.
Okay.
Now, what's your book about, man? What are you writing about?
It's really stories, kind of a 20 stories of how life lessons, gift wrapped in laughter. So it's kind of it has the chicken soup for the soul feeling.
But this is more borscht-y.
Yes, but I think I already kind of saw the writing on the wall that I'm going to come here and you're going to give me the bad review. So it's already in the works. It's Smirnoff for the soul. It's done. Right. It's a done deal.
Borscht for the soul. Yeah. I would recommend the chitterlings for the soul.
Chitterling.
It's spelled chitterling.
Just so you know, since we interviewed Yakov Smirnoff.
Tell me he's still alive.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Do you know what he's gone on to do?
I have absolutely no idea, sadly.
Yeah. He, right after we interviewed him, in 2006, probably 3 or 4 years later, he went on and enrolled at the University of Pennsylvania.
All right.
U of Penn is a big deal as far as getting into a school.
Sure.
This is a guy who didn't even speak English in 1977. He went on to get his degree, his master's in psychology.
Damn.
From the University of Pennsylvania. He then taught classes at Drury University along with Missouri State University. And then he went on to get his doctorate in psychology and global leadership from Pepperdine. And he graduated last year.
We haven't done a goddamn thing.
Can you believe that? He got his master's and his doctorate since the time that we've been in Seattle. We just do fart jokes.
Right.
I mean, like, that's pretty impressive.
It is impressive.
Yakov Smirnoff. Okay.
Our voices sound much different, but the way we interview apparently has not changed at all.
Not too much. No, it's about the same thing.
God, we sound young.
God, we were. That was so much fun.
His laugh cracks me up.
We used to get laid. We used to get drunk. We got stoned. We'd eat chicken wings. Now we got kids, and we go home.
Right.
And we pray to God that maybe we'll get like an old-fashioned or something in the morning. And that never happens.
Nope.
You get woken up in the morning. And God, man, life sucks.
It's changed, man.
Really, it does.
It has changed,
We used to have so much fun. And now it's just like the fun police came in and took all the fun away.
Yeah, it's called marriage.
Right, exactly. Family. Damn you.
Damn kids.
Yeah, it was good times.
I should be on a drug bender right now, but no, I'm helping you with homework.
Right. There you go. Episode number 61 of the Greatest Story Never Told podcast. We'll bring you some more of these old interviews when we dig them up as we can find them along the way and remember some of them.
Maybe.
I do not remember interviewing Yakov Smirnoff.
I vaguely remember hearing that he was going to come in. I do not remember the moment at all. And even hearing, nothing came back. Accurate. But again, it's because we were drunk and high all the time.
There you go on the Greatest Story Never Told podcast.
You've been listening to The Greatest Story Never Told with Miles and Thrill on radio.com.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.